learn more about us or to support our mission, visit us at mosaicprovo.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, Mosaic Church. Hey, if you are new here, my name is Alan. I'm one of the pastors here. And just to emphasize again, if you haven't connected with one of us and you're new here and you've been coming for a few weeks, please, before you leave, I'll stand by the door. We'd love just to meet you, get connected with you. We are so glad that you are here with us this morning. Thank you for being here today. If you've been here with us only for a couple of weeks, or if you have been here with us for this past year on Sunday mornings, you know that we have been walking through the book of Hebrews together in our series titled The True and Better. In the book of Hebrews, the unknown author is taking this persecuted church that he's writing to on a journey through the Old Testament, and he's pointing them to Jesus as the perfect fulfillment of the Old Testament and showing them that Jesus is the true and better. Now, in early September, after taking a break for the summer, we jump back into Hebrews, starting with Hebrews chapter 11, and we're spending a good amount of time in this chapter because the way that Hebrews chapter 11 relates to the rest of the book up until this point is significant. I've mentioned this before in our series, and I'll probably mention it again, but it's important for us to know that those who were receiving this book, this letter of the Hebrews, for the very first time were likely once Jew, but now born-again believers in Jesus. And they're often tempted to go back to their old way of life, to go back to living under the law, due to the Roman persecution of Christians that was ramping up during this time. And the author in Hebrews chapter 11 is pointing them back to individuals within the Old Testament who had monumental faith in God. So essentially, as the persecution is ramping up, this author is writing to them, pointing them back to these figures of the Old Testament who had great faith. And as a result of being pointed back to and reminded of these great figures of the faith, they themselves are encouraged to press on in the Christian walk and in the midst of great struggle and adversity, which attested their faith in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, it's typically referred to as the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith. And so far in this chapter, we've read about the faith of Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. And this morning we come to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 through verse 12, where we continue to read about the faith of Abraham, but more specifically, in these two verses, we're going to see the faith of Abraham's wife, Sarah. So I want to invite you, if you don't already have a Bible out, we have some Bibles here available for you. If you don't have one, feel free to grab one of these before you leave, and you can take that home with you. We also have given out scripture journals before. If you have one of those, we want to be in the Word this morning within the text. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 through 12. We are a Bible church here at Mosaic. The living Word is our authority and central focus on Sunday morning. So with that being said, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 and verse 12 says this, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." Let's pray. God, it is on your word that we rely, and Lord, we gather around your word this morning. Father, as we walk through your word together, I pray that Christ would be magnified and glorified. Father, would you prepare our hearts to receive your word, teach us, convict us, encourage us, and fix our eyes on Jesus this morning. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, so before we really jump into this, last Sunday, a week ago, I preached on the life of faith that Abraham lived from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through verse 10. If we go up just a couple of verses, which says this, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." Last week, we saw that obedience follows faith. Obedience follows faith. God had called on Abraham to get up, to leave his home, and go to a land that God would later reveal to him. And in this, Abraham's faith was in God. Abraham knew that God was faithful and trustworthy, and as a result, he was obedient to the call of God on his life. And in addition to that, really the pinnacle of last week's sermon and the pinnacle of the life of Abraham is that he was counted as righteous because he believed God. He believed in the Word of God. If you would, turn to the book of Genesis with me. We have done this quite often as we've been in Hebrews chapter 11. We've turned back to the book of Genesis quite a bit. As we read last week in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 9, we know that God has promised to make Abraham into a great nation. He, Abraham, would be a blessing, and that all peoples on earth would be blessed through Abraham. Now, moving ahead to, if you would, open up to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to read the first six verses of Genesis 15. It says this, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. Verse 6, it's important, make a note of it. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Such a pinnacle moment in the life of Abraham, because Abraham wasn't counted as or was not credited righteousness based on his obedience to God, but rather it was because of his faith in God. He simply believed the word of God and was counted or credited as righteous. It wasn't because Abraham was obedient to get up and to leave his home and to go to a land that God would later show him, though that is important. Obedience is important, but obedience follows faith. Abraham's faith was in God. It was in the person, the nature of God. He simply believed the word of God that God had spoken to him. Now, jumping ahead a little bit, and I promise we're going to get back to the life and the faith of Sarah, Abraham's wife, but to recap, just for a moment, we see the fulfillment of this promise laid out in Galatians chapter 3, verses 5 through verse 9. Now, this is important because this is really the New Testament fulfillment of this, and it's so important that we read this so that we can better understand not only the faith of Abraham, but also his wife, Sarah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 through verse 9 says, "So again I ask," this is the Apostle Paul speaking, by the way, he says, "So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard, talking about the gospel message here, verse 6, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. If your faith is in Jesus, if your faith is in the Jesus who bore your sin and your shame on the cross, was placed in a tomb and rose again 3 days later, and you are counted as righteous, not based on your obedience or based on what you do or based on works of the law, but if it's all from Jesus and Jesus alone who credits you a righteousness that you did not earn, then you, along with Abraham, are considered blessed. All the way back in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, God was announcing the gospel. And he announced it before the life of Abraham. We see this all the way back at the fall when Adam and Eve first sinned. But all the way in Genesis, God was announcing the gospel, being justified and being counted as righteous before God based on faith alone, not based on works. And this would come to the Gentiles, not because of our obedience to God or our obedience to the law, but by faith in God and in His Son, Jesus. Now, okay, we jumped ahead. Let's back up a little bit in the story, because there's a bit of a problem with the promise that God has given to Abraham. As we just read in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham is childless. He doesn't have anyone to inherit his estate or to inherit this promise. And let's read more about this, but more specifically about Abraham's wife, Sarah, in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through verse 6. This is going to refer to as her as Sarai or Sarai. It says in Genesis 16, starting at verse 1, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew that she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. Now skip down to verse 15 and verse 16, Genesis 16. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave him the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Well, all right, what do we see from this? Given this and given what we already know about Abraham, why would the author of Hebrews place Abraham and Sarah in the faith chapter that is Hebrews chapter 11? Okay, when you really think of this, you can't not but think of Abraham and Sarah and go here. Abraham, you believed in God's promise, okay? And now you, along with your wife, Sarah, take matters into your own hands. And not just that, this was really Sarah's idea in the first place. Not that Abraham should have given in to this idea or had submitted to this idea, but out of all of this mess, out of all of this awkwardness of this situation, where's the faith? Where's the faith and where is the trust in God in all of this? Because we previously read that Abraham was credited righteousness because he believed in God. He heard the promise. He heard the word of God. And now he takes matters into his own hands. Let's read just a couple of more passages in the book of Genesis. And I promise we'll bring this all together. If you would, go to Genesis chapter 17. We're moving on in the story. Genesis 17, verse 15 through verse 19. Says that God also said to Abraham, "As for your wife Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations, kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." At this age, 90 and 100, it's not really the best time to be having children. But we see from this God's promise to Abraham and Sarah that Sarah would have a son that is Abraham's son, and this son will be the one that God would establish a covenant, this everlasting covenant with. And the descendants after him will also be under this same covenant. We also see here from Genesis 17 that in the same way that God changes Abraham's name to Abraham from Abram, he also changes Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah. Though it doesn't seem quite like it yet, they have a whole new purpose in life, a whole new identity in life because of their faith in God and what God is doing in them and what God is doing through them. When we come to faith in Jesus, and when we are counted as righteous based on His work alone on the cross for us, we too have a new identity. We have a new purpose in life, and that purpose is to glorify God and to be obedient to His call on our life. We have a new identity because we who were once lost are now found. We who were once spiritually dead, but because of Jesus and faith in Him alone, we are now made alive in Christ. Now, with that being said, what does Sarah think about all of this? Because we saw just a couple of chapters up how Sarah and Abraham took matters into their own hand, and Abraham had a son with Sarah's servant, Hagar. But in Genesis chapter 18, we really see what Sarah thinks about this, of the promise that God has made to Abraham. Genesis 18, three visitors come to Abraham, and it says this in verse 9 through verse 14. "Where's your wife Sarah?" they ask him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah, who was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him, Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out, my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm this old?' Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Not only did Abraham laugh at the promise of God and the word of God, but Sarah also, when she heard this, she laughed and said, "Really? Can I have a son? I am past the age of having children." And the Lord essentially says, why did you laugh? Why are you doubting my faithfulness? Why are you doubting my trustworthiness to bring about my promise to you? And finally, one more passage in Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time that God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son who Sarah had borne him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. But Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." To start out, Sarah laughed in doubt at the faithfulness, this promise of God. She had laughed, and this laugh was a result of doubt. But now, after she had borne Abraham a son, they named him Isaac, she had a joyful laughter because of the faithful promise of God had come to pass in their life. We see in Genesis 21, just in those first 7 verses, that God had made a promise, and that promise was fulfilled. This story is messy. If you haven't realized that yet, as we've walked through these various chapters in the book of Genesis, this is a messy story. Yet it's woven in the midst of God's faithfulness. Abraham and Sarah, but Abraham especially, knew the promise of God and knew the call of God on their lives. And Abraham had believed the Lord regarding these things, regarding the promise that God had made. He was obedient to the call of God on his life to pack up from his hometown and to go, and not just to go, but to not really have direction and not know where he was headed for when he did get up and go. They doubt the faithfulness of God. Abraham has another son with Sarah's servant, Hagar. They name him Ishmael, and you can read about him later on. But this is a messy, messed up story, yet it's woven in the midst of God's faithfulness. Abraham was still counted as righteous, even though they took matters into their own hands. But what do we see from this? Our theme this morning, faith is trusting, or faith is trusting in the Lord. Sarah knew that Abraham, her husband, was to be the father of a great nation. From the very beginning, from when God had called on Abraham, she knew that Abraham was called to be the father of this great nation, which would then, as we read, make her the mother of this great nation. And in all of this, in the midst of God assuring them of his faithfulness and of his trustworthiness as it relates to the birth of their own son, their faith wavered. So why are they in Hebrews chapter 11? If you can't see that their faith wavered in Genesis, then I see no reason that they should be listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Yet we can find great hope because of this. Yet despite this occasional wavering of their faith, this wavering of their trust in God, it didn't disqualify them as being faithful and having great faith in the Lord. Overall, their trust was still in the Lord. And you, believer, take comfort in that this morning. If you're here and you've been waiting on the Lord for something, or you've been trusting in the Lord to answer a prayer or to fulfill a certain desire that you may have, know that you won't always get it right. Your faith might waver at times. Your trust in the Lord is going to waver. You might feel like this morning that you and your story and your faith and your trust in God is a mess. And if you think that, it probably is. And that's okay, because it depends on Him. It depends on His faithfulness and His trustworthiness. This isn't to say that trusting in Him and having a steadfast faith in the Lord isn't important. It is. But instead of focusing on how much faith you have, focus on His faithfulness to you in the person and work of Jesus. I don't know about you, but when we talk about this messy story and how it relates to faith, I don't know if I'm the only one who so often feels like a mess, right? My life is a mess. I've failed the Lord. I haven't been obedient to the Lord. And we can often become tempted to focus on ourselves or how much faith that we have or how much faith that we're able to muster up. Like for some reason it depends on us. And it's in those moments when you feel like your life is a mess that you need to focus on His faithfulness, His trustworthiness, the faithfulness of Jesus. And you look back and you focus on His past and present faithfulness. And as you look back and as you look here today, you focus on His faithfulness. Your faith in Him as it relates to the future grows and strengthens, because you see that God has been faithful, and you can look ahead towards the future knowing that, yes, God will still be faithful tomorrow because He's been faithful for past and present. And given that, our faith in Him only strengthens and grows. Not because we've somehow focused on how good we are and how much faith we have mustered up, but our focus, our attention is on the faithfulness of God, and it leads us to greater trust in Him. I know that in my own life, I waver. Maybe you felt like that too. You believe and you trust the Lord one moment, and then the next it seems like you're wavering in that trust. In mine and in our lack of faith and our lack of trust in the Lord, His faithfulness stands firm. He is faithful. And when you struggle to see His faithfulness in the time of waiting, we know that Abraham and Sarah did. They struggled in the time of waiting. They knew the promise of God, yet they still took matters into their own hands. And when we find ourselves in that same position, in a position of wavering and trust, lacking to see the faithfulness of God in those times of waiting, look to the cross. Look to the cross and be reminded of His faithfulness, because He willingly took on our sin and was nailed to the cross. He endured the wrath of God on our behalf, and not just that. Look to the empty tomb, where He defeated sin, death, and hell, and now lives to intercede for those of us who are in Christ. Remind yourself of the gospel in those moments of doubt, in those moments where you lack trust in Him, and when you fail to see His faithfulness. Remind yourself of the cross. Remind yourself of the empty tomb, because He is faithful. And we see His faithfulness in the gospel message. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she obeyed the Lord, because she did enough. No, that's not what the text says. She was enabled to bear children because she considered Him faithful. She knew that God was faithful. And God was faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, I love this part, it says, and he was as good as dead. Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as sand on the seashore. To this persecuted Hebrew church, don't forget that He is trustworthy and faithful. To you, Mosaic Church, don't forget that He is trustworthy and faithful. James chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I know that some of you who are here today may be in a season of waiting right now, and it's not the most joyous season of your life. You're waiting on something, and that whatever it is you might be waiting on, you may feel like it's impossible for this to come to be. In Sarah's case, we know that it was a child, and that for her to bear a child in this old age was impossible. And as we just read a moment ago, both her, but it says about Abraham specifically, were as good as dead when it came to seeing this promise fulfilled. And I think, I know that the story played out how it played out for a reason, so that God would receive the most glory. Because it was impossible. They were as good as dead. And in your season of waiting, I know that it may seem like the hope is as good as dead. That whatever it is you're waiting on or waiting for may seem impossible. But in Sarah's case, she considered Him faithful who made the promise. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. If you're leaning on your own understanding this morning, you're eventually going to fall. All that weight on your own understanding, on your own trust in yourself, your own ability, it's eventually going to break. Trust in the Lord. Consider Him faithful. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not yet see. As you wait upon the Lord, are you trusting in the Lord? And are you considering Him faithful this morning? Great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. All that we have needed, He has provided in Christ. If you don't see that, whatever it is you're waiting on, come to be, in your case, if that promise isn't fulfilled this side of eternity, know this morning that His faithfulness is still great. Know that He has provided everything that you need in Christ and in the gospel. The assurance of our faith is not found in the strength of our faith, but in the strength of Jesus, our perfect Savior who loves us and who is worthy of our trust and our adoration. Let's pray. God, I thank You that You are faithful to us this morning. That when our faith wavers, when we are not faithful to You, You continue to be faithful to us, and You remain faithful today, tomorrow, for all of eternity. And we can look back to the cross and see Your faithfulness there. Lord, for any who are here today who are still relying on or leaning on their own faithfulness to You, God, remind them that You are faithful, that You're trustworthy. Lord, save them, convict them of sin this morning. Fix their hope on Christ. Lord, we love You. We thank You for loving us. It's in Your name we pray.